Now let's go back to Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Because I see this is working in my life. And I can share it with you because I got proof of it. I'm not teaching you something that I haven't done it and not experiencing. Hallelujah. What does Luke 8:11 say? Just the first part of that scripture. Now the parable is this. The seed is what? The word of God. Now turn to Mark 4, verse 13. When you have it, say, I have it. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? What parable is he talking about? The parable of the word being sown. And how then will you know all parables? Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So what gets sowed? The word. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 6. I'm going to come back to all these points in just a minute. Look at verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. See, because as tithers and givers, and this is a tithing and giving church, so it's important that we understand tithing and giving. It's important that we understand all the elements that goes along with tithing and giving. It's not just you putting money in an envelope and putting it in a bucket. It goes beyond that. In fact, that should be the final thing you do as far as the handling of the money. All right, look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what is he saying? He says, where your faith goes where you place your attention, is what he told me. Your faith goes where you place your attention. So the thing you put your greatest attention on, that's where your faith is. And your faith is the treasure that everybody should treasure. Because where your treasure is, I'm going to find your heart. So where is your faith? That's where I'm going to find your heart. If you believe that your job is your source, then we can always look at you depending on your job. Because that's where you're going to put your attention. That's where your faith is. And when your job is threatened, you are threatened. Because that's where your faith is. Now, if the word is your source of income, then you have put your attention on the word. And you know a difference because people handle the situation different from you. You know who's on the word and who's not. You might want to write this statement down. Until the word of faith is planted into the soil of your heart, you can't eat from it. You can't spend it. You can't use it the way you have been trying to use it. What we've been trying to do, I want you to look at this. This is a packet of seed. Say seed. In this packet is really seed. But it's in the package. Now, it's got a picture of a tomato on the front. Is a tomato in the room? No. Where is it? It's in the seed. So this seed got to be what? Plant it. You see, all y'all that grow a little bit of stuff, y'all know, if you got a plant, you understand this principle. If you kill the plant, you understand this principle. It had to be planted in order for you to see what was in the seed. So until the word of faith is planted. Now let me encourage you. You said, well, how do I know the word of faith is planted in me? It's like when you get something that you really like and it satisfies you. You know the difference between you eating something just to have something in your mouth versus what you eat and what you got a craving for. Bang, you know the difference. When you get that stuff that you crave for, man, a light goes off inside. You say, wow, that sure tastes good. I'm so glad I held out for that. How many of y'all ever had a taste for some fried chicken? And you be nibbling that stuff, and none of it's satisfying. If you're not careful, you're eating a whole lot of little teeny stuff, but still not satisfied. Because you didn't get what you had an image of. The image was fried chicken. It was not bologna. You ate bologna, but you reaching for chicken. Can y'all see what I'm saying? So the word has to be planted into the soil of your heart, or else you can't eat from it, you can't spend it, and you can't use it the way you've been trying to use it. I'm going to help you. So this word has to be planted first. Say first. That means I got to be in the process or the cycle of planting. Now, I got to give the seed time to root, but I got to put it in the ground first. If I'm not putting seed in the soil of my heart, it has no opportunity to grow roots. It's just hanging out there. I might be quoting the scripture, but I won't say that faithfully every day. And it's looking for a chance to get in your heart. It can only get in there as you say it. Your mouth is the door to your heart. And if you won't say word, it won't get in your heart because you can't think word into your heart. That's like trying to remember what a lemon tastes like. You got a memory of it, but you don't have the actual taste because the lemon is not present. You're trying to remember, but it doesn't bring any nourishment in your remembrance. So for that lemon to have any value to me, I got to have it in my mouth and in my hand. Oh, Jesus. The word has to be planted first, and that planting is done deliberately, like a missile. When you look at Ecclesiastes 11, it talks about cast. Turn to Mark 4 if you're not already there. Look at verse 26. Because you got to plant it like a missile. Oh, Jesus. It should be targeting something specifically. We got to get out of all of these generalities. You know, everything is just general. You know, well, basically, you know, I could take that word and throw it out of the English vocabulary. You hear that word so much, basically, you know, Judge Judah wouldn't let you use it in her court. Because it makes no sense in the way they were trying to use it. Just answer the question. I can understand her frustration. Are you at Mark 4, 26? And he said, so is the kingdom. Who's doing the talking here? Jesus. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should do what? Cast what? Seed. So that he didn't say just throw it in a hole. That word cast means to shoot like a missile. Look it up. You don't have to believe what I say. Go look it up. It can also mean to toss, but that's not what it's saying here. He didn't say just toss your seed over into a hole, put it in an envelope, and walk away from it. No, he said you're supposed to cast that seed like a missile, and it's supposed to have a honing thing on it. Why? I'm gearing to help you. And he says, and you cast seed into the ground. Why is that so important, Pastor Diana? Because the word, say the word, which is the seed, is the only thing that can give money its identity. Your giving an offering is supposed to be proof that you've sown seed already. That you planted, you've been planting. Oh, I'm helping you. I know I'm helping you. Those online, don't you shut down because it's brand new. You better hear this because this is vital to your growth. See, your offering is supposed to be proof that you have already sown seed. But what happens so many times is we put our dependency in the amount of money we give and not because we got word. See, we're trying to use it incorrectly. And then you get a little upset when you sow these great big seeds and don't seem like nothing coming back. You better check your word level. Because you make that seed, that money that you put in there may not be attached to any seed. Because the seed has to give the money identity. You can't get this tomato plant without attaching it to the dirt. You can't get the harvest you're trying to get just giving an offering. That's been the mistake of most believers. We think just giving an offering is going to give us the harvest. There must be word attached to that. Because the word identifies what that offering is supposed to do, not the money. So many times we put our dependency in the amount of money we give and not the word. Now, when word has been planted and an offering has been given, the money takes on the identity of the sown word. So that when you give money, you can say, I have sown seed. Oh, Jesus. Why? Because the seed and the money is now one. They have become inseparable. And the only way they can come apart is through your words again. Because now you have joined, it's like a marriage. You have joined the seed and the word and the offering together. That's, man, Lord help us, Jesus. Woo! You got to put seed down before the offering. Because you'll come to church and put your offering in and think because you gave it to a good place that you're just supposed to get a return. And it doesn't work like that. It doesn't have anything that it's attached to that would give it validation. So when the word has been planted and an offering has been given, the money takes on the identity of the sown word. And you can say, I have sown seed. Now all that is left to complete the cycle is praise and worship. And your praise and worship becomes like fertilizer and rain together. It gives the word seed sown what it needs to root. Because the word still has to grow roots, even though you planted it. If you put a seed in the ground and you don't nurture it, you don't give it water, you don't give it fertilizer, you don't make sure it's in the right kind of light, it'll wither up and die in that good soil because you're not attending to it. That's what happened about the parable of the soil of the word. People begin to plant. Some people never planted. But you see the one where the seed was planted, but then the cares of life did what? Choked it out. How could it choke it out? Because the sower stopped attending. Stop saying what was necessary to keep fertilizer and rain going to the seed. Because we keep forgetting that the seed has to develop roots. So we say the word one time and we think we've done our duty. So your praise and worship is like fertilizer and rain together, giving the word seed sown what it needs to root and to become your expected desire. Now listen to this. I heard Donald Lawrence sing this, and it went off in me like a rocket. He said, rain only matters to those who have seed in the ground. Rain to other people is a nuisance. It gets in the way. But that if you are farming, you have planted, you know you need rain. Just like you need sun. But you got to have rain, because if rain gets down into the soil, where just watering it from the top don't do the same thing. It's something about the rain that God made that gets all the way down to the core. You don't know how far that rain has to go down to get to your seed. This is why you can't afford to stop praising and worshiping God. So in the middle of your storm, you got to praise and worship God. Let me tell you something. Y'all too feel it for me. You want to feel all the time. Get up, get your hind parts up, and begin to praise and worship God. It'll change your feelings. If you sit in that chair and just say, I just don't feel that moving, you're not going to do it. You got to get up and press beyond what you're looking at. You want to change it. But no, what you want God to do is to throw you out the chair and make you stand up and praise and worship him. Ain't going to happen. See, that's not going to happen. And you said, well, you know, because used to be a time when I was coming up, they said, you know, you pray in tongues as the Spirit moves you. Don't you wait for that, because you may never get a move. You better get up and pray in tongues. Why? It's a part of your assignment. Watch this. Praise and worship provides the opportunity for the power that is in the seed to be released and bring to pass what is on the package. Because that's the assignment of praise and worship, is to cause the power to be released. If you don't have praise and worship in the midst of all of this, you didn't complete the cycle. So if you think praise and worship is just something you do when you come into this room, you're wrong. That's the only fertilizing rain your seed gets. Because quoting the word doesn't do it. It's your praise and worship. Ooh. Your praise and worship also keeps the airway free so you can receive. Because you got an enemy. Your praise and worship is a weapon. We have an enemy that has launched an assault against your harvest. You know, we got deer out there where I live. I don't hate them, but I don't really have a whole lot of need for them. Because every time I plant my little croton bushes or my hostas, they eat them down to the quick. And it gets on my nerves, because that's money. You go try to buy a croton bush. And I started to put some stuff up there, but then the Lord said, no, don't you hurt that animal. I was tired of being robbed by the deer. But I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to change what I say about my bushes in my yard, and I'm gonna change the direction of the deer, and they're gonna stop finding me. Because see, you know, they're like a dog. Once they mark their spot, they'll find it a year later. Cause they have marked it with their scent. And unless you do something different to get rid of the scent, they'll find it. Dogs the same way. If they ever pee in your yard, they'll find their scent. Now, I know that's kind of crude, but that's right. Y'all know if you got a yard, the dog come back. You keep trying, why that dog keep coming in my yard? Because it left its scent. It know where to find itself. So praise and worship keeps the airway free so you can receive. Because you got an enemy that is trying to block. Remember the situation with Daniel? And Daniel said, and when Michael got there, Michael said, he says, I've been trying to get the answer to you in 21 days, but I was hindered. He said, actually, I had to call in extra help because the airways were not open. Your praise and worship opens the airwaves. How you going to get the stuff to you? Your praise and worship is a weapon. It travels through the spiritual atmosphere and creates a path for what you are believing for to reach you. The cycle must be completed to get a successful harvest. And this is why we don't get a complete harvest. This is why we get frustrated in tithing and giving, because we don't bring all the elements that cause the harvest to come forth. And we won't do them perpetually. We do them when we feel like it. And praise and worship is one of those things. You can't depend on your feelings. Because the devil gonna make sure you never feel like praise and worship, especially when you're at home. He'll make you sit down and turn on something on TV before you get up and praise and worship God. Woo, Jesus. You should get a new attitude about praise and worship. Why? Because everything you're tithing and giving for depends on it. You won't come in here expecting the minister of music or the minister of praise and worship to sing you happy. That's not their job, is to sing you happy. Their job is to help bring you into the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to come ready to enter in. Not because you feel like it, but because you've been praising and worshiping God all week. No, you're going to bring the joy with you. Say, I'll bring the joy with me. Because you got an understanding that even when it looks like it's not working, it's working. So you can come in here and be joyous because it's working. Even when it looks like it's not working, it's working. Because the seed is developing roots and it's getting big and strong and healthy. It's working. You never see the root on top of the ground. But it's working. How do I know it's working? Because fruit, a flower, a bud begin to show up. That tells me my roots are working. See, that's kind of like what God does to keep us maintaining our expectation. He'll send a little bud out. And it's not the whole beautiful flower yet, but it's just that little bud. Just to let you know, it's working. It's working. Oh, baby, you're working. I got some plants that I've had probably about 16, 17 years, probably longer than that, that I come by and I say, oh, you working so pretty today. Look at you. Look at that baby just growing over there. And I can hear him going, thank you, mama. And when I go to warm, I say, oh, rain from heaven. I know you're enjoying it. Just have yourself a good drink. You're going to be all right. See, if you don't tell them something, they think you don't love them. And if you're not nurturing your seed that you say you planted, it's going to get an abandonment feeling. It's going to feel like you don't care nothing about it because you won't praise and worship that so it can root. Now turn to 2 Chronicles. And I'm going to say this statement while y'all turning there. Your loud praise, say loud praise. Say loud praise. Say it again, loud. Can you spell it? L-O-U-D. Loud praise and worship will block fear. That's why I had Minister Casey to sing that song. Because your praise and worship got to be louder than the unbelief that's trying to settle on you. It's got to be louder than the doubt and the fear that's attacking you. Why? That's why you got to get loud. Because it got to register above what you're hearing. That is not for you. So you got to get louder than it. You can't get like that. Thank you, Lord. And it's talking loud in your ear. And you're there trying to mumble something. No, you got to say, no! Praise the Lord. I am healed. I am prosperous. See, if you don't begin to say that stuff can start registering. because it's trying to get down into the soil. Jesus told us about the tares and the wheat growing together. See, you planting the tares through a lack of praise and worship. You allowing tares to come. The devil will sow tares in your heart. And then when you're trying to develop a harvest, you're trying to figure out what's happening. You got to get rid of the tares. You got to let, and he said, Jesus, I know how to get rid of them. But sometimes they grow together and they look almost alike. When I looked up a tare and a wheat, they look similar until they begin fully developed. Then you can tell the difference. But growing when they're tender, it's hard to determine the tare from the wheat. That's why you got to praise and worship God, to keep the tare out of your harvest. Because you got an enemy that wants to plant. So your loud praise and worship will block fear, doubt, and unbelief that's trying to settle in you. Why? Because you got seed in the ground. And if you can't open up your mouth and begin to praise and worship God, your seed doesn't stand a chance of living. That's just it. And you can tithe and give to Jesus come back. It just don't stand a chance of living. All right, let me get 2 Chronicles. Y'all got 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to start with verse 1 like we did. And I'm going to share these 24 points with you because somebody said I was talking kind of fast Wednesday night and they couldn't get them all. Well, now you can go back and look at this service and get them all because I still might talk fast. Hallelujah. See, the Holy Spirit gave me these 24 points, February 10th, 2015. I was in a battle. Mental and spiritually, I was in a battle. I just wanted to give up. The church was going through. I was going through. Everybody was going through. And the devil deliberately tried to make you feel that pressure of failure. This is why you can't listen to me. I told you I'm not telling you something I haven't already done and still do to this day. And the points is this. Point number one. Now, I'm going to read. Are you there? It came to pass after this, verse 1, also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So Jehoshaphat is in a battle. They may not have physically drawn their swords yet, but they have decided we're going to fight you. How many of you been in school and the bully decided they want to fight you? How many of you know you better have a backup or you better know something? Or you can fight. Because when the bullets say they want to fight you, they're going to fight you. That's what bullets do. This is why you can't shoot your lip and you can't fight. Don't talk a bad game and you can't fight. Don't be trying to be all that and you can't fight. Because you're going to get your tail whipped. And you can't depend on daddy and mama to get you out. You need to get your mouth right. Because when you're in school, daddy and mama ain't there. And that little girl that you think you can whip and all that, see, you don't know she got a whole gang of girls. I've seen them 3 or 4 girls beat one girl at one time. Because they all was together. But you got to know. Say, I need to know. That I'm in a battle, first of all. Seeing that war belongs to God, but you're in the battle. So the point number one, call a fast so we can be like-minded. So that means I got to shut down my natural body so I can hear clearly spiritually. I got to bring some things to a natural halt. I can't be so busy. I got to take time to fast so I can hear. I need to shut down some of my activities and only do what is absolutely necessary so I can hear because I'm in a battle. I was in a battle. I didn't know which direction to take. How am I going to hear if I keep hearing what the enemy was saying? If that's all that was saying to me, and we're going to do this, and this going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this going to happen. Like some of you, the devil said, we're going to take your car, we're going to take your house, we're going to take this, and we're going to take that, because you behind in this, and you behind in that, and y'all running scared, trying to borrow money, this and that, but you ain't got in this yet. You haven't come to the word yet. You're just frustrated and you're sweating. Call a fast and shut your body down. So we got to hear from God, because that's the number one priority. Because God has the answer how to pursue what you're looking at. You got to hear from God first. Because he might tell you to do something that make no sense to nobody else. Not even to yourself. So you got to hear the plan of God first. Don't be trying to do a lot of activities before you hear from God first. That's the mistake we make in a battle. We rush trying to do something and God haven't told us what to do yet. We'll quote a scripture. Then God didn't tell you to say that scripture. You need to let God give you the scripture to say. Because in that scripture is all the faith you need to win that battle. Ooh, Jesus. Anybody learning? Amen. Point number two, recognize that no one stands a chance against God. Know that the enemy you're looking at has no chance against God. They are not bigger than God. And you don't have to listen to what the devil says. He's a bully, but he ain't bigger than God. Third point, we must see this temple, the local house, as God's dwelling where the anointing is displayed. Why is that important? Because when I come, I can't come full of my cares and stuff trying to figure out. Because why? I'm coming to a place where God is sanctified for me to learn and to develop. In this environment, you're going to hear what you need to hear if you come ready. See, if you go to God first on that fast, he'll tell you, sitting there, when you get to church today, I want you to do such and such. I want you to sow this, put this amount of money in the envelope. He'll tell you that before you leave your house. And then when you get in here, you're going to do what? You're going to praise and worship. Why? Because this is the place where God has provided for you as a haven. So we got to get a reverence for the house of God again. Number four, we must confess God as our answer. Never see God as part of the problem. Because if the devil can't convince you that God is trying to keep something from you, you're going to make God the part of the problem. Well, he over there blessing Sister Sally, but he ain't doing that for you. You may not know what Sister Sally know yet. Won't you ask Sister Sally what she doing? No, the devil, they're trying to persuade you. And then you'll start distancing yourself from people that love you. See, the devil, the plan still works, divide and conquer. You begin to run when you're in trouble instead of coming in and let somebody help cover you till you get yourself together. Never see God as part of the problem. Number five, keep looking to God. He is the answer to every situation. Don't keep looking to a 99 different books. When you're in a battle, you can't read a whole lot of books. They'll confuse you. Stick to what God has said. Stay there until he tells you to read another verse. If he don't tell you to read another verse, read the same verse for the next 30 days. He's trying to get you to learn something. Ooh, Jesus. Number six, bring his presence into your individual homes. That's that praise and worship we're talking about. You got to bring his presence. I can't say it for nobody else's house, but in our home, we have very little shows that we allowed our children to watch and that we would watch ourselves. We like comedy. My husband liked Westerns. You know, I'm not saying don't watch no TV, but some of the stuff that come on TV that you permit to talk into the atmosphere in your house. It's disrupting what you say you believe in God for. Don't you know every time those shows come on, something is being released into your atmosphere? If the demons are behind it, listen to me. If they got to cuss every other word in a show, you don't need to watch that. How that building your faith? And you sitting there laughing at them cussing and being stupid. Did I hurt somebody the show? I hope I did. Because as a Christian, you got to be careful what you're listening to. All in the name of entertainment. Smile real big. Nobody know I'm talking about you. Hallelujah. Bring his presence into your individual homes. So if you can play old school music, y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't going there. How come the gospel don't get the same stage? Now you're embarrassed to play your gospel music at the same level you played the old school music. So who you trying to entertain? I don't care nothing about my neighbor. They play their music as loud as they want to play it. You think I'm going to turn mine down just so they can be happy? I'm going to make sure they hear all the gospel they can hear, because that might be the only way they hear the gospel. I told y'all Wednesday night, my neighbor on the corner from me, she said, I heard you. Yeah, I want you to hear me. Now, if she can hear me from my bedroom sitting in my house, and we like at a angle, her house is on the corner, and I'm in the middle of the cul-de-sac. Tell you something, right? Am I ashamed? No. Everybody on my street know I'm born again. Every one of my neighbors know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Every one of my neighbors know I pray in tongues. Because one of them heard me a time or two. Because when it's happening, it's happening. I ain't shutting down God for them. Dismiss that mess. All in the name of keeping peace. They don't know peace. Bring his presence into your individual homes. Point number 7. Now you need to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, because I'm not going to go back and read the whole dissertation. You need to go back and read verses 1 through 30. But these are the points that the Lord gave me back in this time when I was being attacked, and I'm trying to share with you the things you need to do that will help bring you out of your situation. We got to stop being this microwave kind of Christian and don't want to do nothing. Just stick it in there and let it work for you. No, you got to participate. Look at somebody say, you got to participate. Because if you're unwilling to participate, you're not going to get what you think. This is not the technology the way you think. I was watching the show, and they brought the robots, and they look so human. One person put in there, one of the remarks said, they're trying to replace us, but those robots, and they're walking around, they were mingling with people, unless you knew they were a robot. Now, some of the emotions were still robotic, you know, it's not fluid. But just to look at the way they built their face, you couldn't tell they were not a human. Technology has come a long ways. But God is bigger than technology. And he deserves our praise and our worship. Point number 7, never fear. Do not fear. You need to highlight this one. Do not fear. Don't open the door to fear. Do not fear. Why? Fear is looking for attention and respect. Fear is trying to take the place of faith. And it's looking for attention. And the more you pay attention to a fear, the greater it becomes in your life. And it's demanding your respect. In other words, bow down to what I'm saying to you. Respect my fear. You can't give fear that kind of respect. You can't give it. Mm. So pay fear no mind. Attend to faith only. When you're being on attack like that, you got to stay true to faith. You got to pick up the word of faith. And sometimes that one song is all you need to get you started. Because I'm going to praise him in the middle of a storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Not going to hear my praises go wimpy. Go wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. No, you're going to hear my praises roar. Now, if roar is wimpy to you, you keep right on being wimpy. He says, roar your praises. Louder and louder. Why? Because I'm fighting unbelief. I'm fighting fear. And fear doesn't have any regard for your faith. It's on assignment to take it from you. Mm. You have to become violent. So don't pay fear any mind. Attend to faith only. Because we are in a faith fight. That's point number 8. You got to understand and realize that you are in a faith fight, not a physical fight. You are in a faith fight. And what is coming against you physically, what is coming against you financially, are all things to disrupt faith. It's coming to steal your faith. The devil is trying to separate you from the faith of God, and you need to understand that. Point number 9. The war belongs to God and not us. But because we're God's children, the devil attacks us. So we're in a battle, but the war belongs to God. Because he's angry at God. He hates God. He just comes against us because we belong to God. You know, it's kind of like somebody don't like you, so they take out their frustration on your kids. And you know, my God ain't gonna put up with that for so long. Mm-mm. He ain't gonna let the enemy do that to you for so long. And especially when you were there praising and worshiping him, he said, okay, you don't know how to behave yourself. Take this. And he said, that's what he did with the Egyptians. He just wiped them off the earth. And notice what the Israelites did when they got on the other side. They didn't go to Bible study. They didn't go build a house. The first thing they did was what? Praise and worship. Miriam picked up the tambourine. They didn't have the organ player. They didn't have a guitar, but they had a tambourine. And they began to dance. See, that was supposed to continue. But anyway, you know the story then. The war belongs to God and not us. Point number 10, prepare with praise and worship to overthrow every plan of the devil. You got to be, this is how you get your strategic battle plan through praise and worship. God says, I come and dwell amongst you in your praise and worship. When he come to dwell, he coming to talk. He ain't coming just to look at you and say, oh, you so pretty. And he might say that to you because, you know, he thinks I'm gorgeous. He made me, so he got that right to say it. I'm gorgeous. But that's not the whole reason he coming. He coming to give me an instruction. Okay? Point number 11, you must maintain your position of faith. Stand rooted and grounded in what you know. And you don't have to quote every scripture, but you got to maintain your position of faith. Point number 12, and I can remember him telling me, don't waver. Don't quiz. Don't start asking God a bunch of dumb questions. Don't let that come out your mouth. Lord, what I'm supposed to do? Shut up. Start with shutting up. Because that question is going to lead to another dumb question and another dumb question. And before you know it, you're going to be in unbelief. So quit quizzing and accept the promise. Don't doubt. Point number 13, speak the word of faith only. Now, you sound like I said this before, but I got to keep saying because this is the way the Lord gave it to me. Speak the word of faith only. In other words, he told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He said, when you get up, talk it. When you go to bed, talk it. When you're standing up, talk it. Say the word. Quit rehearsing the problem. Quit rehearsing your grief and your sorrow. Quit rehearsing how somebody hurt your feelings. It only makes that take root. If that's what you want to live in your heart, you keep saying that, and that's what you'll get. When my husband went to be home with the Lord, I could have chosen grief and sorrow. Now, did I cry? Yeah, I cried because I missed him. But did I sorrow? What for? He's in my future. Why am I going to lay up in the bed and cry all night long for the next 6-7 months? They ain't going to bring him back. He don't want to come back. And I ain't trying to develop no faith for him to come back. So what's the use? See, people do that kind of stuff to make other people think they love that person so much. The greatest sign of love is to get over them. That means they taught you well. They help you. To lie down and give up on life, that's not the will of God. Mm-mm. In fact, the Lord is bringing some things I was sharing with Minister Regina the other day. The Lord is doing some things in me that might not have ever been done had my husband been here, because he was the senior pastor. He was my husband. There are certain things I didn't have to go to God the way he did, because he was the shepherd of this flock. Now I'm in a different position, and God talks to me differently. So had I just given up and just cried and broke down and act like a fool, we wouldn't be here today. It wouldn't even be a Rapture Worship Center anymore. Thank God for great pastors. Hallelujah. All right, point number 14. Watch with expectation of God's delivering, saving power to work for you. Keep expectation. See, if you don't have expectation, how does that come? It comes by the word of faith. I see you, Lord. I know the word is working. It's working on the inside of me. My heart is already healed. I'm no longer upset with that person. My heart is healed. I forgive them for hurting me, Lord. I forgive them, Lord. I will not grieve. I'm not sorrowful because you are my joy. See, what am I doing? I'm creating my own expectation. What am I expecting? More joy. More peace. I know I'm helping y'all online. You need to come and be a part of this church. And then hit that like, subscribe button. You know what to do. And then share it with somebody. Let somebody know you're hearing the truth. Hallelujah. Point number 15. Remember, say remember, that you are appointed and anointed to bring praise before God himself. You're not supposed to go before God dragging with your tail between your feet, your legs. You're not supposed to go to God like that. He says, enter into my gates with what? With thanksgiving. Come into my courts with? So how do we get all the way down to, I'm just a dirty dog. And Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me. You got to help me. I don't know what to do. And we cry for days like that. The enemy has built a whole fortress in that 3 days while you over there crying. He says, no, remember that you are appointed and anointed to bring praise before God himself. Number 16, praise God with a loud voice. Oh, we're going to do that again this morning. Say, praise God with a loud voice. See, that's in the Bible. You need to go back and find it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's in there. He told them to have a loud praise, not a quiet one. Why? Because you got to shake the foundations of this world system with your praise and worship. That's the only thing to begin to uproot the stuff that's been planted against you. is your praise and worship. And the more you praise, it's like this rumbling. You know, if anybody got a sound bar and you hit that, I call it a turbo. You hit that turbo button and everything in the room began to rattle and shake. See, that's what your praise and worship does. You go boom, 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 boom. And that stuff that the devil had planted got to come up. Fear got to come up. It's got to get out. Why? Praise and worship is present. It can't stay in the presence of praise and worship. Sickness got to go. And your wallet gets healed. It may not look like you said, look like I still got the same $5. But inside, you got a root that said, I got money. All my needs are already met. I got money because I got seed. I got seed in the ground. I got seed. And this seed is working. It's developing. Woo. And it's going to bring me a harvest. Hallelujah. He says, so praise God with a loud voice. Shake the foundations of this world system with your praise and worship. Don't let your praise slip. Point number 17. Believe in your pastors and you will come out of this with this church. At that time, it's... I just put rapture. You will never know lack again. See, as this church come out, you coming out too. But I can't drag you out if you want to stay behind. You got to come out of your own will. 18, point number 18. Give thanks to God because his love for us never quits. He refuses to give up on you. Therefore, don't give up on him. Don't let the devil make you give up on God. I don't care how tough it looks. Don't let him talk you out. Just get in there and dig your heels in and say, Lord, I ain't moving. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I would say to myself, Lord, I'm yours forever. I'm just yours forever. I love you forever. I give you praise forever. Because my mind was under so much attack. And reading the Bible was like picking up the heaviest book in the world. When you're on attack, this is why you got to know this, what I'm telling you. This is something you got to be doing every day. So that when the attack comes, it's these things are not foreign to you. To trying to get them start when you're in the midst of a storm, it can happen, but it's rough. How many of you know it's rougher? But if you were doing this every day, no matter what, it becomes first nature to you. So when the next attack comes, you know what to do. I sing a little louder. I praise a little louder. Right in the midst of my enemy. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death has been defeated. The king is alive. Hey, I like that song. Glory to God. All right. Point number 19, we get to the close. Your enemies will be confused and eliminated because of your constant praise and worship. Never dial praise and worship out. I'm telling you, this is just so key. Why? Because your enemies can't stand praise. See, the devil can't stand it. Why? He used to be over praise and worship. And he hates it every time you praise and worship God. It's like a thorn in his flesh that's constantly gnawing at him. He got to get up and go. It will confuse them because they figure, well, you know, you should be going down by now, but no, you're eliminating them. Just like God did the Egyptians. He eliminated their enemies and all their debts all in the same day. Good Lord of mercy. Hallelujah. Point number 20, your enemies will stumble over themselves. We see that in this account in 2 Chronicles 20, how that they began to slaughter themselves. Once their praise and worship went forth, the command was send the singles out first. Let praise and worship go first and set the atmosphere right. And when they began to praise and worship God, God set the ambushment, not you. God said they had to obey praise and worship. And God set the ambushment. God set the enemy up. And they destroyed one another to the place there was no one left. Nothing but all the goods. Woo, Jesus. Point number 21. Well, your enemies, go back to point number 20 because I didn't finish it. Your enemies will stumble over themselves. Your praise and worship will blind them. See, they can't see beyond your praise and worship because it's foreign. They don't know how to deal with it. It keeps them from seeing into your life. Point number 21, your praise and worship becomes the bridge that transforms your believing to receiving. You see it happening. See, that praise and worship saying, oh, I see it, I see it. Death has been defeated. The king is alive. Oh, ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Ain't no sickness going to keep me down. I don't care if I'm 75. Ain't no sickness going to keep this body down. Because death has been defeated. Mm. So now your praise and worship becomes that bridge. It transforms your believing to receiving. You're believing for it, and then you get it. That's that bridge. That praise and worship is that bridge. Glory to God. That's why you can't come to church ever again, not ready to praise and worship. Number 22, the spoils of every enemy belongs to you. Every enemy that rose up against you, bills, bad relationship, whatever, everything belongs to you. Point number 23, our enemies will watch in fear and wonderment because of what God has done for you. Man, they're going to be amazed. They're going to be baffled. They don't understand how you made it through all this, that pandemic and how you overcame and you didn't die and you know, everybody's still intact. You didn't lose your house. People lost a lot in the pandemic. Business was closed down, everything. Mm. But God kept us. And do you realize that y'all still got a job? A lot of people lost their jobs. That's why you got to be in the right place. Ooh, Jesus. Point number 24. I know you didn't think I was going to get there. God will cause us to live in peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything in its place. And the cycle is complete. And it just keeps right on going. Come on, stand to your feet.